Good evening, everybody. I'm Pastor Shannon Williams. I'm your host of the KTF Podcast, and we're having a fantastic time right now, y'all, in the KTF studios. What's up, everybody?
Glad to be back.
Praise God. It's been a minute since we've been on the air and had our podcast out here. Just had some summer stuff happening, schedules, and all that good stuff, but we are back.
Amen.
We're going to be back with a vengeance. To my left, we have with me B. Mizzle in the house.
What's up, everybody? What up, America?
And to my right, we've got the awesome, wonderful caramel feller, PBJ.
What's happening? What's going on, everybody?
How y'all feeling? How's everybody doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling all right.
Blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Amen. I'm blessed in the city,
blessed
in the field. Praise God. Amen. So we're talking tonight on the KTF Podcast, where we, by the way, defend the faith, stand for truth. You know what to do. Tell us where you're watching from, and always give us that like and share.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get the word out. KTF is about the Father's business, so let's get rolling. So the question today, fellas,
this is it.
Is teamwork possible in the modern church?
Okay, that's good.
Yep. Let's talk about teams and teamwork. You know, the definition of a team is a number of people associated together in work or activity. It's a group on one side. A group working together to achieve a common goal. If I'm on a softball team, what's the goal of that softball team?
To win the game.
To win the games against the other softball teams, right? Okay, so if you're on a team, your team should have a leader, it should have a vision, and it should have a goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the question is, we know by Scripture, and we're going to be talking through the Word of God today, but does the Scripture actually support teams in the church? Because we've seen, and y'all can chime in here, we've seen a lot of individualism
in
the church.
Yeah,
we've seen a rise of individual status. We've seen people's personal statuses, individualism, the social media blow up, accounts blow up, and, I've got, you know, somebody stand up saying, I've got thousands and thousands of followers. I've got this and I've got that. And but Jesus put a very high price on teamwork. Yeah, Let's talk about that.
You know, when you talk about teamwork or the modern church has become clicky.
Oh yeah,
you know it's not so much as a whole team anymore. It's just the outfielders.
Is that something fairly new?
I don't know.
Or do you think that's something that's been kind of going on maybe in the American culture or American church for a while?
It's probably been going on. We just see it more because of social media, and you know everybody's got their own platform. Everybody's got their own ministry. They're their own leader, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like you said, a team has a leader. You got a coach, which is Jesus of the church.
That's right.
Then you got a captain. The captain,
that's right.
You know, he's the captain.
He's the on-field advisory, right?
He's the field sergeant.
That's right. Yeah. He's taking orders.
That's right.
He's getting his orders from the coach. And he's turning around, and he's executing that and communicating that to the entire team.
Yes.
And so maybe a pastor, a leader.
Pastor,
a
leader, minister.
But, you know, somebody would fill that role.
I think that's where we see the breakdown in the modern church is, well, I don't have to take advice from that captain, you know?
Come on, let's talk about that for a minute, because we see people that say, I don't need the church. I'm a Christian, I love God, and I don't need your stinking church. I don't need your nasty, hypocrite-filled people.
Yeah,
I don't need y'all. There's nothing but judgmental, hypocrite people. And so there's a lot of this mentality out here that's like, hey, I don't need what the church has to offer. Is that legitimate?
I think people were failing to realize what the church actually is. It's the body of Christ coming together.
That's exactly. That's very
as
good.
A team, and you know,
the body.
They see church and they see people get church hurt and they see all the hypocritical stuff out there and whatnot, you know, and I get it. I understand nobody wants to be a part of that team, but if you really look at it, you know, no one's perfect. We need to come together, work together to achieve each other's goals. And the ultimate goal is to get everybody as many as we can to get them to heaven,
Let's
teach them
it.
About the gospel.
That's right.
And you have to work together. I mean, that's church. is knowing who Jesus is, working together, regardless if you have differences. Do I agree with everything that you do? Do you agree with everything that I do? No, no, but
probably not.
When we come down to it, Jesus, we can all agree upon Jesus. That's we can all understand who Jesus is, and let's work together towards that goal.
Yes, yeah. Come on.
Unified together.
You yeah. know, I think there's a lot of forsaking of the assembling today.
Hebrews 10:25. That's yes, right. It says, I mean, forsake not, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but even the more so as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? I believe it's the day of the return of Jesus,
of the Lord. That's right.
The day that he's coming back. We should be ready and prepared, but we really cannot do, this is not a job you can do on your own.
No, no. It's
you not. Can't evangelize the entire world by yourself.
Correct.
Right. I think it's an impossible task. I think that's why he says, hey, I'm going to send the disciples out by twos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I've got, we've got scripture for that, and that's very explicit in the scriptures.
Yep.
But we need teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need people that are willing to work together, not for their own glory, not for their own sake. We need to work together for the sake of Jesus.
That's right. Yes.
And so what we have is we have an epidemic of self, self-exalting, the promotion of self. The Bible talks about the glory, vain glory, a man's glory. And that man should not be taking the glory.
Right.
We should be giving God the glory. Yeah. But what happens is when we get in the way, when we allow ourself and selfishness to rise up, then I think that's a big barrier to teamwork because, you know, if I'm the all-star of the team, let's say I'm the point guard and I shoot threes very well, and all I'm concerned about is making the MVP of the league, I'm not concerned about us winning. I'm just out for my individual goals. Guess what? I'm not interested in working with the guard, guard. I'm not interested in working with the forward or the center.
But you can only score when I pass you the ball.
That's right. Right.
You know, if I'm hogging the ball,
that's right.
I'm a ball hog. You ain't going to get your points. I'm going to, you know, shoot bricks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, we got to work together.
Championship teams work together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Championship churches work together.
Yes. Come on. That's good.
If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, if we're going to do that, if you're going to join in, then guess what? You're going to have to do that with a team. Amen. It's designed and it's built in. So the question is, can teamwork work in the modern church? Is it possible in the modern church? I just want to answer real quick right now, yes or no answer. What do you think?
Yes. It was designed to work.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Yes, definitely. For sure.
But what about the thousands and thousands of denominations that we have out here? What about all the reasons that we have that divide us and keep us from coming together?
That's where man got in the way of Jesus.
That's where people had their own opinions.
That's right. You know, I've been studying this thing. I'm going down a rabbit trail, but the Reformed Baptist.
Okay.
All right. What are you reforming, first of all? Was it not good enough to begin with?
The first group wasn't solidified enough.
So we're going to redo it in 1689 and go a different direction than we first intended it. You know?
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, I mean, they're just one of many.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
So they're just one. Okay, so there's 45,000 Christian denominations across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, how in the world are we going to come together? I mean, in Mount Holly, North Carolina has, 43 churches. And we started a fellowship. It's called the Greater Gaston Fellowship of Churches. It's been on my heart for a while. Minister Brian stepped up and said, I want to help partner, and you're kind of the director of the whole thing. But like we got in touch with churches, right?
It is tough,
and it's a tough road. They're not gung ho about saying, "Hey, let's partner."
No, they're not. You know, what do you believe? Well, it doesn't matter what I believe. We're not going to believe the same. I mean, we just shared this. We're not going to believe everything the same. But do we believe that Jesus is Lord, and can we lift him up together and praise him?
Can you disagree with somebody and still go to church together?
Yes.
Can you disagree with someone and still have a revival together?
Yes.
Yes.
See, that's it right there, because I think a lot of people are like, no, it's cut off.
Yeah.
Now, I could say this. I think it would be extremely difficult to have a Holy Spirit-filled service with a bunch of folks that don't believe in the Holy Spirit, right? Or the moving of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That would be that would have its challenges.
Yeah.
But if we could say, hey, guys, all right, for the sake of the gospel, can we unify to go out and preach Jesus? Can
that's
we do
exactly
that?
Right.
You know, because I think that's important. You know, let's drop all the other stuff and let's focus on what matters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, it says this. It says that he said, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and of one mind.
That's
does that mean we all have to think exactly alike? That's not what that scripture means.
It's not meaning we're sharing a mind.
Yeah. No, it means that we have one mind or one vision.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We are focusing and we are casting a vision to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the one mind. You know what? I could say, you know what? I think podcasts are a great way to preach the gospel. And you could say, I believe street preaching is a great way preach the gospel. Yeah. You could say, I think prison ministry is a great way to preach the gospel. And I could say, well, I want to spend my resources doing this, but I'll pray for you and support you while you do that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing that.
Right.
I think we're over here going, hey, man, unless you think exactly the way I think about this ministry,
that's when
then I'm cutting you off and you're done.
Yeah. You get into the, well, my ministry is better than yours.
Right.
That's a wrong mentality to have. You know, all ministry should glorify God. All ministry should be unified together, regardless of what it is, as long as you're seeking Jesus.
It's not a competition.
It's not. It's not a competition at all.
Where church is gone. Well, my church is better than yours. My preacher is better than yours. My ministry is better than yours.
Yeah, and the mark of that, let's just be real, the mark of that is how many people attend a church.
Yeah,
that makes it successful. We reached 500 members. We've reached 1,000 members. We reached, well, you know.
I'm so sick of the, how many followers do you have? How many likes do you have?
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
He must be anointed because he's got 1 million followers, you know.
Followers online does not equate to anointing.
Come on, say that.
That's good.
You can't, just because you got followers does not mean you carry an anointing.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Just because you're a great marketer doesn't mean you carry a great anointing. I know a lot of people have a following and people listen to them and they never change.
Yeah.
They never adjust. The gospel never shapes their life.
Mm.
They still are on the same course and trajectory. Yeah. So, like, is that ministry really effective? Can you actually say that's effective ministry, right?
You know, I was reading today about Paul. Paul said, my words were not very eloquent, you know, but how did he preach the gospel and win so many over? He had the Holy Spirit.
Demonstration and power.
Signs and
not
wonders
by enticing following. Words of man's
exactly
wisdom.
Exactly right. That's where we got to get back to. It ain't got to be a well-orchestrated speech, Shakespearean type thing. It's got to be the move of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. You know, the part of Philippians that I'd mentioned in chapter 2, I really like this. Listen to this. After it says to be in one accord and one mind, let's have this one vision. Let our minds be focused on the main thing. It said, let nothing be done through strife.
Mm.
That's fighting.
Yeah.
Or vainglory. That means taking credit for yourself. If your sentences always start with I or me, then I think we're on the wrong course.
Mm-hmm.
I think our sentences should start with him, what he's done, Christ and the cross. And then it says, but let each man esteem others better than themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we should actually think to uplift each other, to exhort one another, instead of thinking about what can I do to make myself look better than my neighbor?
That gift is dead and gone. Exhortation. Nobody hardly does it anymore.
Mm.
You need to, you an exhorter in your life. If you don't have one, find somebody to build you up.
Yeah.
You know, you need that.
Well, if you don't, you can always do like David did. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Sure he did.
You know what? I want to know the recipe for doing exactly that.
Yes.
Because that, I think we need to get that one.
Yeah.
Because if you can't find somebody to exhort you or encourage you, by God, start talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're a child of God. Look at you. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm looking at a precious creation of the Most High God. Mm. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Praise God.
Right.
I serve the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
I feel better already.
That's good. You know, sometimes
you ain't talking about me, but I love it. Woo!
Yeah. Sometimes, right. You know, if you can't
rub a sharpen. Let's sharpen each other a little bit.
You know, sometimes if you feel like you can't lift yourself up, or you feel like, you know, I'm just not in the best of moods to do it. You know, find you somebody that your prayer buddy, your prayer partner, someone.
Just
your,
one.
Your husband, your wife, you know, find that one person, your friend, find that one person, you know. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it said, and he called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. He sent them by two.
Yeah, he don't want anybody doing this by themselves.
No, he sent you by two. Find you that one person that you can confide in, the person who you can trust and say, you know what, I'm not doing too good. I need you to pray for me. We need to be unified.
The least common denominator.
I can pray for you. Yeah.
That's right. The least common denominator should be a two.
Yeah. Yes.
I agree.
It shouldn't be a one. The least common denominator. Jesus built a team.
Mm-hmm. He did.
That's right.
He only picked 12 guys, and one of them went defunct. You know?
That's right.
So then he only had really 11, you know, after that. Yeah. So 11 guys that graduated and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And those 11, he poured into 11, and they changed the world.
That's right.
You know, I don't really like the terms big church, small church. This is a big church. This is a small church. I think that absolutely drives me bonkers, but I think I know why. Because Jesus changed the world with 11 disciples.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
His team of 11 actually turned the world upside down.
Yeah, he did.
Sure. You know, and they actually put their life on the line.
Multitudes came.
Yeah.
To him, you know, multitudes.
They risked everything.
And it was millions. Up to them to help crowd work. It was up to them. They were unified together. It was teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus preached the message. Jesus put in a lot of the work, and he said, hey, I need you guys to help me. He helped them work the crowd.
You know what? I never had realized this before, and I want y'all to think about this real quick, but I didn't realize this until I was really, really reading and looking into it. Do you know that Jesus sent the disciples out when they were very, very young in, mm-hmm. in what would be called ministry training?
Oh, yeah.
Like they may have been following Jesus. They a total 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been following him for a year, mm-hmm. a year and a half. And he's like, all right, I'm going to send you out by twos. You're going
to
go out in all the areas. You're going to start spreading the gospel.
Here's the basics.
And so Jesus didn't go with them.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't go with them. So he let them go out and venture. And so that's when they were coming back, and they're like, Jesus, hey, the devils are subject to us.
Yeah.
Wow. You know? Well, and he's like, listen, don't get excited about that. Get excited that your name's written in the book of life.
Yeah.
That's what you should get excited about. Listen, demons being subject to you is an ancillary thing in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so once again.
It was very common in those days. I mean,
yeah.
When he sent them out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's
right.
Your job. Preach the gospel.
That's right.
You know, that's five things. You go do that. You know?
Oh, we preach the gospel now.
Yeah.
Nobody's praying for the sick.
Mine right here says, as you go preach, saying, there's a comma, the kingdom of heaven. It's not a period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a period. That means it goes on. The sentence goes on.
Yeah, correct.
It does not stop.
Correct.
You can't put a period right there.
Yeah. No.
You know, I don't know how you, and you darn sure can't delete the rest of it. You know, I don't understand.
I agree. I agree.
It makes me frustrated.
That's right. Preach the gospel, raise the dead, heal the sick,
mm-hmm.
you know, cast out devils. All of these things work together to help equip a saint to be able to do the job. He sent him out to go do a job. And he's like, hey, I've given you, like, you know, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And then it says here in Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. This is in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
And so we, common denominator is two. Get somebody that will join forces with you. A house divided against itself, the Bible says that house cannot stand.
Yeah.
And that includes the church. If the church cannot be on the same team, if we cannot support each other, we're not going to overcome. And I think this is the challenge that we face right now. I think we have seen so many churches turn church into a competition we're against other churches. We're against their success. Yeah. We're against them growing. We're against them being blessed. I want to say this. If you're a pastor, you have a ministry in a church, I hope you're so overwhelmed with winning souls, with doing the work of God, that you ain't got time to focus on all this other stuff.
Come on.
I really pray that your coffers are full of finances, resources, volunteers, because you are so overwhelmed with so many people calling your church. I mean, okay, we call churches. You call churches, right?
Yeah.
How many of them actually answered a phone?
Two out of 43 answered the phone.
Two actually answered the phone. You know what I pray? I pray that everybody has somebody 24 hours staff to answer phones for the ministry, because they're so overwhelmed with people that need ministry.
Yes.
People that are getting saved. I pray you got to add services, add extra people, add more ministries to your church. So we can be about the Father's business instead of being about comparing ourselves to each other. Because if I'm doing better than you, I can still be doing sorry. And that's the truth. If your measurement is saying, well, I'm doing better than most other churches in here, then you're not striving for the right thing. If you look around and you say, I'm better than most other Christians in my family or most other Christians in my work, you need to measure against the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ.
Where did the burden go? Where did the burden for souls and for victory go in these pastors? I mean,
selfishness has overwhelmed.
Are you just good? Are you good to go with
us four and no more?
The salary that you have, and I'm I can play golf the rest of the week, and
they just got.
I prepare my sermon on Saturday, and I'm good to go for Sunday.
They're
service.
Just comfortable.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I mean, I've only been doing this a little while, and my heart burdens for the lost and the sick.
Yeah.
And the oppressed. You know, I want to see people free. I want to see people, because I know the bondage that I was in, and I don't want anybody to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's the problem. They ain't been in nothing. You know, I don't know. We need a fire back in the pulpits, a fire back in the church.
They forgot.
Maybe they did. And you know, as I've talked to some of these pastors, and they're wanting to get behind this fellowship of churches, they're like, yes, this is needed. This is what I need. I needed a spark.
I needed
a brother in Christ, a confidant or whatever you call it, somebody come alongside me and help this burden and the same thing I'm burdening.
Come on.
You know?
Do you think that their hands are tied because the congregation?
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
A lot of them
want growth. A lot of them want to see, you know, the Holy Spirit show up. They want to see that fire. And then, you know, the elders, the deacons, the congregants, they're like, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that in our church. That's sad.
Well, I've actually seen people that and heard many testimonies of pastors who are Holy Spirit filled, but they're in denominations that don't believe that. And so this is what they say. They say, well, I have the Holy Spirit and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm not going to teach or preach it.
You're stifling what God has called you to do.
Oh, excuse me?
There's whole...
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got the greatest gift ever, which is Christ and His Spirit in you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit there and say, well, my denomination won't let me... They won't let me talk about it.
Well, I pray the Holy Spirit just flips that whole place upside down.
Exactly.
You know, my wife was talking today about a Baptist church in Alabama.
Yeah,
filled with the Holy Spirit and is on fire for the Lord now. You know,
they're pulling out of the Baptist group.
Praise God. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Everybody needs.
Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. If I'm in a group and I see the light, I see the truth, I see everything happening. I am growing. The Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I've got a group of people saying, "You're crazy. You're not right. You're doing this for the wrong reasons. This ain't scriptural. This is bad. This is heresy." I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm going with what the Lord has shown me, and I'm gonna leave those people in the dust.
Yeah. I'm
gonna shake the dust off my feet.
I would have to preach it and teach it till they ran me out of there. Mm.
Well, that's happened before.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll preach it and teach it, and maybe, you know what, by me preaching and teaching it, that maybe one life has changed in there. And you know what? Then it was worth it for them running me out of there.
Do you know who hates the Holy Spirit more than the devil? The religious people.
The Pharisees.
Yeah. The religious people, they can't stand it. It tears them up, man, because you're messing up with their way of worship.
Yeah.
Their way of having church. Yeah. And you don't get church your way. Mm. You don't get everything your way. Mm. And I think that's part of saying, you know what? There's a give and take. You know, let's say, oh, man, I love hymns. I love the hymns. I love the old hymns. Well, we can't sing the old hymns every week for the next 40 years.
No.
I'll be honest with you. You'll have a bunch of blue hairs in your church, and that's all you'll have.
Yeah.
You'll have no young people. You'll have no young families because they are not – they didn't grow up listening to that like that generation did.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with hymns. But you can't build your ministry on that. There's got to be some compromise. Yeah. You know, you got to say, well, you know what? It's okay to sing a new song because the Bible says sing unto the Lord song.
A new song. Mm-hmm.
See, what is more important to you? Having it your way or seeing a move of God?
Yes, come on.
Having it a traditional way or seeing a move of God? Because you can actually make the move of God null and void through your traditions.
Through your religion. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
Your religion can actually choke out the life of God, what he's trying to do in a ministry. Mm. Listen, let's go free. Let's get wild. Let's just go for it, right? No holds barred.
Let Jesus have his way.
Holy Spirit flow. Let him come in. Let him do what he wants. Let him cast the vision.
Yeah.
You know, we got seminars now. We got church growth seminars. And they're not focusing on the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. They're focusing on, well, you got to get this app, and this app will tell you the people in your community, and you got to send out certain number of things based on this, and you'll get an equivalent of that, and it's but you got to have a customer service environment, and they're teaching people how to have church without the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, that's exactly what they do,
and that's wrong.
You know, direct and guide this fellowship of churches. I get all these ads that, you know, because I'm searching on churches and different things. And I see so many churches looking for pastors. How do you baptize? You know, that's some of the questions in there. You know,
we sprinkle.
Yeah. I mean, and how to build your church in 30 days, how to grow your church and by 200 members in 30 days.
I like the ads that I see that say, take your church from 20 to 200 in 30 days. You know, some thing. Well, you know, well, what if your church doesn't hold that many people?
Who's gonna
How are you gonna take a church from 20 to 200 if your church holds 100?
Yeah,
it's not gonna happen, Jack.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to start doing multiple services, and even then, it's not gonna really work.
Yeah,
you know, it's so good. So what they do is they sell you on this dream that you can grow a church, right? By doing it their way.
Yeah.
Right. But I'll be honest with you. I just want to preach the gospel.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let the Lord build the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain, the Bible says.
That's exactly right.
And so can the church, modern church, can the modern church be in a teamwork environment? We're going to have to see a lot of things change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to see a lot of things change. We're going to have to be able to, here's my list. We're going to have to be able to go in the same direction under the same vision. We're going to have to be teachable. The team winning has to be more important than the individual winning.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to work well with others.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. You know, and you can't, I don't know the number, maybe Elizabeth knows, but how many people do the work of the church? You know, you got a lot.
Well, I would have to say our church is a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
We actually do have a very large volunteer base. But mm-hmm. the statistics are less than 10% of the church does 90% of the work.
Okay. I knew there was a number out there, but, you know.
Less than 10.
The kicker's just as important as the quarterback.
That's right.
I mean, if he ain't making field goals, we're losing by three.
That's right.
So everybody's got a role to play.
Or the extra point. I mean, times have you seen teams lose by one in the first quarter, the guy missed the extra point?
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, man, if we would have just got that extra point, we could have tied and went into overtime, but instead we lost. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about.
That brings me to my
Let's pull that up.
This is one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole Bible. First Corinthians 12 is one of my favorites.
I like
but,
it.
But starting in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." If you skip down to verse 21, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Everybody is needed in the body of Christ.
You don't have the power to look at anybody else in the church. You can't or in walk the body on your and head. Say, "I don't need you."
Come on.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
All right, okay, so if that's the case, then you're anti-biblical.
Ooh. You're a Bible denier. And
fuck. Oh my gosh. I wasn't ready for that. You're a Bible denier is what you are. Yeah, I mean if we're looking at it for what it says, you cannot look at anybody else. You know, the eye can't say to the ear because, you know, I'm not the hearing, I'm not of the body. And the eyes are a part of the body, the ears are part of the body, the fingers are part of the body, the feet are part of the body. Yeah, they all have different jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Bible even talks about the most uncomely parts.
Yeah.
Even they get glory.
Yeah.
You know? Listen, live your whole life without your rear end.
Yeah.
See how far you're going to make. You ain't going to make it at all.
You can't walk without no feet.
That's right.
And you can't have no feet that work without any toes.
That's right. You got them crusty toenails to go along with it.
You can bring it down to the Lord
Jesus.
You
know, come on.
Corns and callus.
Go get you a pedicure.
Get you some Vietnamese every part's love.
Needed, man. Every part's needed.
Yeah.
Every part's needed.
It is. And you can't be so high and mighty that you can't scrub a toilet. You can't change a light bulb. That's right. You know, which we don't have that a lot around here. Everybody puts their hand to the plow pretty much. But, you know, be thankful that you can scrub a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fivefold ministry, right? You know, the fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher.
That's right.
Right. Just because the Bible talks about in Corinthians, talks about prophecy is better than tongues and interpretation, that doesn't mean that the prophet is the most important one.
No, that's the
prophet can't look at you and be like, "I don't need you. I hear from the Lord." But how many times have you heard people say, "I heard from the Lord and I don't need you"? That's crazy.
Yeah,
we need to be taught. We need to have people that know how to pastor people. And what does that mean? That does not mean coddle people. That means correct you.
That's exactly
that means bring you back in the fold. That means help them beat the wolves off of you. Ooh, you need an evangelist to go out and preach
the gospel,
to go out and win souls. You need an apostle to help plant and establish churches and ministries.
Every one of them's needed.
And you need a prophet to come in and say, "Thus saith the Lord."
Come on.
Yeah.
So we need all of them.
You do. You know, I don't know.
This is going to be a little controversial. Right here, right now. This is going to be controversial.
Here we go. Let's go.
Ooh. But there are apostles today.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah. There are prophets today.
Yeah.
Because you can't say, "Oh, well, we've got the fivefold ministry, but the Lord just took out the first two. Now all we got is evangelists, pastors, and teachers." Wrong answer. They're in the same one. The Bible says God gave them all to the body.
That's right. You can't put a period in that verse.
That's right.
You can't. You can't divide it. You can't cut out the pastors and evangelists and teachers. We need those, but it's the same as the cessationists. Yeah, that makes me see the fight, man. Oh, man. It's the same.
I knew they were coming back.
He said it's the same.
It's the same cats. Same cats saying the same stuff. Yeah,
same dudes.
But we should be able to work with those guys. Can we work with them? Hey, listen, what if I showed up? If I showed up and said, "Hey, I like y'all, but I'm a prophet." Well, I mean, what would they? I mean, would we be able to work together?
Yeah.
I mean, would it be possible?
Yeah. I think they would be like,
"You're a heretic." That's exactly what right they'd say.
The yeah, they'd be like,
"Say, my God, this is heresy right here." They're like, they're gone. They're dead. Lord don't do that anymore.
They'll grab the pitchforks.
The last one was Paul.
That's right. They only apostles saw Jesus.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
You better look up.
I saw Jesus. I did. I saw Jesus.
Praise God.
I was 13 years old. My grandmother had passed away. My parents did not allow me to go to the hospital. I guess they felt it would be a little bit traumatic for me to go and see my grandmother. She was dying of cancer, and so they wouldn't let me go. And so we went to her house after she died, and I was in the back room of her house, and I was praying to the Lord. And I was like, Jesus, I would like to have some peace of mind. You know, that I love my grandma, and can you show me or reveal to me that she's okay and everything's going to be okay? And I want to know that she's all right. And so right as I was praying that, in the back room, there was a mirror. There was a little desk and a mirror on top of it. And there was this bright light, and it was so bright. It was like somebody flashed the brightest flash you could ever, just zoom. Yeah. I was literally blinded for a moment of how bright it was. And all I saw after that was this outline, and it was flowing hair. It was a silhouette is what it was. And I saw hands out, and I saw this robe. You could see this real, like, long robe hanging down from the hands. And then it just flowed down, and I knew it was Jesus. I knew exactly it was Jesus, but it was so bright. So I saw this image of Jesus, and he gave me this confirmation when I was a young man. And so that means technically I could be an apostle because I saw, I've seen Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you've planted a church, Paul, too.
True. And if Paul, you know, he didn't see Jesus. A great light shone down.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And he became blinded.
Yeah.
So did he really see Jesus, or did he encounter Jesus?
Yeah.
But they call him the Apostle Paul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he called himself an apostle.
Yeah. Well, anybody who has an encounter with Jesus Christ, you know, is that considered? Can you be in that category? I've planted a church. I've founded and I've started a church. So some people see me as an apostle. Some people call me an apostle. Some people don't. Some people call me pastor. Some people call me Shannon.
Yeah.
And they don't see me. They don't see me as anything. I'm just another bro or a dude. You know,
Are a bro, but you're my pastor. So
yeah, well, you know, but it limits how you can minister to people, how they view you, right?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. If you see me as a pastor, I can help pastor you. Yeah. If you see me as a brother, I could actually be a brother and help lead, guide, and encourage you. If you see me as a dude, then I can do absolutely nothing for you.
That's good.
You know what I mean? And so the answer is, if we can break through some of these barriers and work together.
We got to.
For sure.
We got
the devil's united. All the pagans are united. They worship different gods. They'll come together. Mm-hmm. They'll all hang out and hug each other. Mm-hmm. You can't get a Methodist and a Baptist together and a Pentecostal together in the same room to save somebody's life.
No.
And so we need to start calling for unity again in the body.
Yes.
God, we need to start calling for unity. We need to actually be the ones saying we need to unify before it's too late.
Yeah.
Before it's too late. Amen. Imagine, so comment on there. Let us know what you think about unity in the church, how we can get there, and what are some things that are concerning to you when it comes to how, when, and where we can actually join forces together in the body.
Amen.
We actually are working together in this community to bring about a community revival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to plug the revival coming up.
Go for it.
October 3rd through the 5th. That's a Thursday through a Saturday. It's going to be held at 709 Rankin Avenue in Mount Holly, North Carolina. We're getting a tent.
Yeah.
We're going to have 500 chairs, and we're having a community revival.
It's all
going
to be denominations.
All denominations, that's right. All Come churches. On. This is not one person. We're not bringing in special speakers. It's all community-driven, community-fed, and community-led. But the main focus of this whole thing is going to be Jesus Christ. We're going to lift him up. And so this is a greater Gaston Fellowship of Churches event. This is not one church. It's not one denomination. It's going to transcend all. So we would love to have you. It's going to start at 6:30 every night in October. Make plans to be a part of that. If you've got to drive 10, 20, 30 miles, 40 miles, we don't care how far you got to drive.
Right.
Listen, come and get under this tent.
Amen.
And we're going to see a move of God. We're going to see a lot of people get saved, rededicate their life. Amen. And I'm believing that God's going to be breaking generational curses, and deliverance is going to take place, and whatever else the Holy Spirit wants. Because it's Him. It's His church.
You know, you're going to have pastors, preachers of of denomination sharing a stage that you wouldn't even imagine. That's beautiful. I can't wait to see this. A Baptist and a Pentecostal on the same stage. You know, it's Amen. Like, it's going to be wonderful. Lifting up Jesus. We've laid down all our differences to come together for Christ. Yeah. You know,
that's right.
That's what we're supposed to do anyway. But we're going to try to get this pushed to October 3rd through the 5th. Come be part of it.
That's right.
This will be one of those look at God moments. Mm-hmm. Look at God. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
But God. We were divided. Amen. But God.
That's right.
..
Whatever he wants to write, that's what we want.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. So let God do a mighty move here in the Bible Belt.
Amen.
In the Bible Belt. Praise the Lord.
Let Jesus be lifted up. He'll draw all men unto him.
Amen. Yeah. I've had a great time here tonight. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us here on the KTF Podcast. Yes. As always, I want to remind you to keep the faith all the way to the finish line. We'll see you next time.